see how that has impacted on other people's lives and how it can impact on ours. So we've looked at how three lives or sets of lives were changed. First of all, we looked at Mary at the tomb. We shared the story of the couple on the road to Emmaus going back home in distress. And then we've looked at the story of the disciples in the upper room where Jesus appeared to them and then later came back and appeared to them, and Thomas too. And Thomas made that great declaration, "My Lord and my God." So over three Sundays, 21 days in private study using the book and in three study groups, we've learned that Jesus really is alive right now and we can really live. We've learned that our spiritual vision of Jesus can be blurred by doubt and disappointment, but it can be corrected. And we've learned that Jesus gives us new peace, new hope, new joy. We've been singing about these things this morning. He sends us out with a new purpose, with new power and new authority to present the good news of Jesus with boldness. I know many people have been impacted or touched with some of the messages or some of their daily readings. So without you getting cold feet, just want to suggest right now, anybody who just wants to share with us something that stood out from some of the messages or some of the daily readings. And if you haven't got a book, the fact that we're halfway through doesn't matter. You can get a book this morning and carry on reading day by day what everybody else in the fellowship is reading too. Has anybody got anything to share about what God's been talking to them about in these days?
Well, Lorna and I were talking last week about eating together, weren't we, Lorna? And we thought a faith supper seemed to be in order.
Yes.
Yeah. So put the date in your diaries, 14th of May, it's a Saturday night. If you're not here, sorry, but it was dependent on whether we could get the small room. So I've got the small room. And if you haven't been to a faith supper before, the faith is that there'll be enough food for everybody because everybody brings something. And if everybody brings the same thing, we ate the same thing. And if everybody brings dessert, we eat dessert. So yes, that's where the faith comes in. So put it in your diaries, 14th of May, 7 o'clock.
So, potluck.
Faith.
Saturday, 14th of May.
Yeah.
Here. Please put it in your diary, set it aside. Let's just come and enjoy our time together. One of the elements of probably beginning of last week, we were talking a few when we're following the story of the two on the road to Emmaus, was about disappointment. About disappointment in life or disappointment in something we've done in the last few days. And learning there that we can give that disappointment to God. That He wants us to give that disappointment to Him. So it no longer holds us. But by giving it up to Him, it sets us free to see all that He wants from us. It's another way of putting aside things that hold us back and prevent us seeing Him clearly. How about some of the stories that are being told? Anything? I know someone on Wednesday night mentioned they quite like the story about the bird.
Yes.
Everybody remember that one?
Yeah.
If you haven't been following the daily readings, there was a story. This man wanted something really, really good to give to his mother. So how much he thought of her and loved her. And he searched around and he found this bird that could speak four different foreign languages.
4,000 words, could speak numerous languages and sing three operatic arias.
And it cost him £50,000. He'd give this to his mother. And he rang her up and said, "Mum, what did you think of the bird?" And she says, "It was delicious." It's about missing the point of not appreciating what we're given. Today we're going to see that we can fail. And that when you fail, when you can't see a way out, that there is a way out, that your future is greater than your failure. Your call is greater than your call. I want to go away this morning with a message that your future is greater than your failure. And that goes for all of us, no matter where we're from and what the failure is. I've got another story. I invite you, if you know the answer to the story, the person that I'm speaking about and describing, to shout it out before we get to the end of the story. He did not speak until he was 4 years old. He didn't read until he was 7. His teachers and his parents thought he was mentally handicapped. He was slow and antisocial. Eventually, he was expelled from school. Might get a bit closer with this one. He was refused admittance to the Zurich Polytechnic School.
Hitler. Yeah.
Einstein.
Albert Einstein. Yeah. He caught on eventually, though people would think so. He won the Nobel Prize. He changed the idea of modern physics, the entire concept, Albert Einstein. And yet he had a beginning where he was labeled failure. That need not hold us back from becoming the people that God wanted us to be. In the story this morning, we have one of the major characters is there, is another stunning example of someone who failed. Simon Peter. Over a matter of weeks, though, he went from the one who denied Jesus 3 times to preaching the good news of Jesus on the day of Pentecost, where 3,000 people were baptized.
Everything comes in threes.
3,000. What made the difference to the Peter who denied Jesus and ran away, to the Peter who stood up on the public steps outside the temple and preached the risen Lord? It was an encounter with the risen Jesus. An encounter with the risen Jesus. Jesus cannot touch someone, become real to them, and not make a difference. And Jesus doesn't just make a difference to us on the day that we give our lives to him. He continues to make a difference to us. Each year we should see that we are different at the end of the year than the beginning. Otherwise, we're missing out on all that he has given to us. I will have failed if I'm the same person next week as I was last week, because I'm not allowing the power of God in my life to make a change. So we're going to find out from the passage this morning that Jesus helps us in our present struggles. Jesus helps us in our present struggles. We read that afterwards, Jesus appeared again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee. John names the people who were there. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." The idea there is a bit like, well, we've got nothing else to do. Let's go. Because the majority of the people were fishermen. So they went out and got in that boat. But that night, they caught nothing. So people have asked questions about what were the disciples doing fishing. They'd met Jesus a few times. They'd gone back to Galilee. One of the other gospels says Jesus said, "Go back to Galilee. I'm going to come to meet you and spend some time with you."
Well, we're not just trying to return to normality.
They were trying. Yes.
What they assumed was normality.
Yeah. It's what they knew.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus was dead then. We just saw, that's all finished with, return away.
Yeah, part of that, they just didn't know what to do. They were lost. So they went back to what was familiar, to what was normal, to what they knew. Is what they knew. They did it right. They did it at the best time, which is night. They did it together as a group, and yet it led to failure and it led to frustration because they got nothing. They were doing what they knew, they were doing it the best of their abilities, but they caught nothing. But into their failure came Jesus. And we noticed that when he called out to them, just like a couple on the nearest road into Mary, they didn't quite recognize him first. Maybe it was a mist on the shore. But he called out to them and they weren't sure. He called out and said, "Friends, what's up?" Jesus called out to us, "What's up?" We're not supposed to carry on our daily lives without his help. We're not supposed to do what we do every day without him. And we're not supposed to carry on God's mission without his help. We're not supposed to live and work and act as a church without his help. But the good news is that he is here. He's here right now. He's with you wherever you are during the week. He's there waiting to be asked. But first of all, he's saying, "Here I am." We've got to make a response. First of all, we've got to welcome his intervention in our lives. We've got to welcome his activity in our lives. Sometimes he's asking us to do something we don't want to do. So it's welcoming him into our lives. Absolutely. And for all things. He, Jesus, called out to them. And he, Jesus, calls out to us too. He says, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" And the word "friends" wasn't a "hi mate" sort of thing, impersonal. It was a word that meant affection and endearment. He was identifying with them. "Haven't you any fish?" Well, he knew they didn't have any fish. But he was inviting them to respond to him. It's the heart of God wanting to be close and be involved in their failure and to fill in where they were frustrated, where they considered they hadn't done what they needed to have done. What do you reply when somebody says, "Have you not got any fish?" Or, "How are you doing?" "Oh, I'm okay." You notice the disciples didn't say, "We're okay," or the 2,000 year ago Aramaic version of "I'm okay." It was clear what was wrong. They weren't denying their frustration. They weren't denying that they weren't well. For many of us, when we say "okay," it's a "I'm not all right, but I don't want to talk about it." We need to sometimes look at our honesty in responding, not just to God, but to our friends. So they needed to welcome his intervention. Then they needed to obey his instruction. And what an odd thing it was. He said, "Throw your net out on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." They only ever fished off the left side of the boat. Then they fished in pairs. We call it seine net fishing, if you know anything about how they fish in these parts. So the professional fishermen, they only fished off one side of the boat. And this person on the shore, they say, "Try it on the other side." And for some reason, they did. Maybe it was their sense of frustration, "Well, we'll have a go at anything." Maybe it was the way Jesus addressed them. And they recognized someone that wanted to be in their situation and part of them. When they did, so they obeyed his instructions, they didn't say, "Hey, look, don't talk, don't tell your granny to suck eggs. We know what we're doing. You're no fisherman." They did what he said, and they were unable to hold the net in because of the large number of fish. they obeyed Jesus' instruction to do something they had never done before, which was counter to all of their training and experience. And their catch was bigger than they had ever could imagine or experienced before. So what's our reaction? What's your reaction when Jesus calls you to do something different? Something that doesn't match your knowledge and experience. We know that the Creator, we've said about this too, the Creator has all the knowledge and power that we will ever need. He knows more about fish than the fisherman. He knows more about project management than a project manager. He knows more about joinery than a joiner. I suppose he had 30 years experience actually doing that as well. He knows more about accounts than an accountant. He knows more about medicine than a doctor or a nurse. He's the Creator of the universe. He knows more about me than I do. There's nowhere that I've got one upon him because of what I've read or learnt or done. And the good news is that he's still here. Jesus is not dead. Or he didn't just rise and appear to his disciples and disappear off the face of the universe. He's a Jesus who is alive and present with us now by the power of his Holy Spirit. He's ready to help us in every area of our lives, not just the big stuff. He's ready to help us in all the little stuff as well. So the next time we think, I don't know what I'm going to do here, the first call isn't to start sticking in the things that might go wrong. The first call is to say, Jesus, I need your help. There is never a situation or circumstance when it's not there. Some of us might have gone through periods where we questioned and we said, God's gone. I can't find him. And you hear people who say that they went through a time of dryness when God wasn't there. And then they realized that he was there all the time, as if they didn't recognize him. They weren't looking for him in the right place. So the professional fishermen cast their nets on the other side. So they welcomed his intervention, they obeyed his instructions, and then they accepted his invitation. Jesus performed the miracle of the catching of the fish as a way of inviting the disciples into a renewed relationship with himself. He calls us to accept his invitation into a renewed relationship with him. No matter how many years we've been a Christian, no matter how much we know, no matter what experiences we've had, he invites us, he invites you right now, this morning, right this minute, into a renewed relationship with him. He's got more for you, and he wants you to know it right now. The miracle led to recognition. John says, it's Jesus on the shore. And who jumps in the water? It's Peter. He puts his coat on, or his garment, or his cloak, and jumps in the water. One of the versions said he swims to the shore. The reason he'd taken this off was because it was so cumbersome. If it gets wet, he can't do anything. But it must have been quite shallow. So you imagine putting these long robes on, jumping in the shore, it gets soaking wet. But he gets in, not properly equipped for swimming, but he gets in and he goes, and the other disciples follow in the boat, towing the net full of fish. So just like some other story we've heard, John responds first, but Peter gets there first. And there's an invitation again now, an invitation to breakfast, to that deeper relationship where the Lord meets all practical needs. They would have been hungry, the big grown men out fishing all night. Breakfast was just what they needed physically. And Jesus responds to our physical needs as well as to our spiritual needs. So he helps us in our present struggles, but he also heals us from our past failures. And this is very important. He heals us from our past. The elements in our past that might be stopping us or holding us back or causing us not to make the move where God wants us to move. When they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than this?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Jesus is inviting Peter into a renewed relationship with him, and he asked us this morning, "Fred, Phyllis, do you love me? Do you truly love me?" Interesting to note what Jesus was cooking the fish on. A charcoal fire. There is only one other mention in the scriptures of a charcoal fire. Can you think of where it was? It was in the courtyard.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Of where Jesus was on trial. And Peter went to warm his hands over the charcoal fire. That you're what is, Lord? No, I'm not. Charcoal fire, bringing Peter back to face his failures. Jesus is coming to heal him from his past. Instead of reminding Peter what he's done, he said, "Do you remember now what you did that night?" He doesn't remind him what he does. He doesn't say, "You should be ashamed for what you've done. I'm really disappointed in you." Jesus goes to the root of the promises. "Do you love me? Do you really truly love me?" That's what matters. Jesus is highlighting that the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Not, are you capable? Are you ashamed? What do you want to do? Do you love me? And what Jesus can do in your life and in my life depends upon our response to that question. Jesus brings Peter to a place of repentance. He brings him to a place of restoration. He says, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." And he brings him to a place of recommissioning to be a disciple, to be a leader in the church, to proclaim the good news. Sometimes we don't give anybody a second chance. Often the world doesn't give anyone a second chance, and unfortunately in the history of the church, sometimes many people have not been given a second chance. Peter had a number of second chances. God gives you and me a number of second chances. He's saying there's nothing that you've done can separate. The thing that your future is greater than your failure because of me. That's what Jesus is saying. You ever heard of Thomas Edison? That man who ended up arranging a joint patent of the invention of the electric light bulb with our own Joseph Swan from Gateshead. But when he was working on prototypes and testing, it was a crazy contraption. that people didn't think was going to do anything. He called it a light bulb. He had a whole team of men, a whole workshop working on this. And it took the whole team working together 24 hours to put just one of them together to put on display. So they'd worked 24 hours solid as a team to put this example together, and they were going to show it to someone else. So he gave it to a young lad who was one of the helpers in the team, and he nervously carried it up the stairs to where they were going to demonstrate. Step by step, he watched each step. He watched his hands to make sure he wasn't going to harm. He was quite frightened of messing up. And as he got to the top of the stairs, and it smashed. The whole team of men then spent the next 24 hours making and putting together another light bulb. So now, completely exhausted and worn out, someone had to carry that light bulb up the top of the stairs to the room where they were going to demonstrate it. Thomas Edison gave the same young boy that light bulb to carry up those stairs to the room at the top of the stairs. He gave him a second chance. He forgave him. Do you need a second chance? Look at how God transformed Peter. As he transformed Peter, he wants to transform you too. He doesn't want you to be characterized or held back by what you might have failed in the past, because he's stronger than that. So he's welcoming you. He's giving you an invitation. You just have to accept this invitation for him to transform your life, to obey what he's telling you to do. You might wonder if it's completely out there. It's a good idea to share it with some of your brothers and sisters as well. And he's asking you to make a response to trust him. He wants you to know that transformation. He wants you to know forgiveness. He wants you to know restoration. Jesus is not involved in patching us up. Jesus wants to make us whole, to transform us, to be like him. No stained plasters, no sewing on patches. He wants to transform us and make us new. Right now, not when we go to heaven, he wants us to know that newness, that transformation, right now. He wants you to know that you've got a place in his plan. Here and now. So remember, your future is greater than your failure. We accept his invitation to help us in our problems for today, and we can accept his healing to release us from our past failures and into a new purpose and plan with his power, with his presence. Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Almighty God, we want to thank you because you are the great God, the Almighty God. We thank you, Lord, that you care so much for us. Lord, help us to recognize you. Help us to know that when you call us friend, you have our inner being at heart. That you want to satisfy what we need physically, Lord, today, as well as spiritually. So, Lord, come. Almighty God, just come, Holy Spirit, into this place right now at this time. Help us, Lord, to accept your invitation to a new relationship with you. Help us, Lord, to know not just your desire to change us, but your power changing us as we accept you and invite you to make us new right now.
Amen.
We'll finish by singing a song that talks about how Jesus makes us new, how he deals with our failures. He chose the cross. Richest blessing as you accept his invitation to a new life with him, a new relationship in hope, in joy, in power, knowing his forgiveness and knowing that he has a plan for you. May you know his power and his joy as you seek to serve him. Amen.
Amen. Amen.